Gang, are you looking for better sleep and relaxation or relief from pain or anxiety without feeling totally drugged? Well, let me tell you about True Hemp Science Full Spectrum CBD products. True Hemp Science promises premium quality, pure ingredients, and true value. They source the highest grade organic hemp from around the world to handcraft the finest full spectrum CBD products in the Austin area and beyond. They offer a complete line of full-spectrum CBD products, including oils, tinctures, skincare lotions, sports rubs, gummies, and chocolates. Gang, I've been using their products for a while now, and they've lowered my anxiety and given me incredibly restful sleep. How Did I Get Here has teamed up with True Hemp Science to bring you a very special offer that benefits all of us. Spend $100 or more at True Hemp Science, and they will include either the number 81 distillate, which is great for nighttime, or the number 23 distillate, which is great for daytime, with your order. And that is a $25 value. Just go to truehempscience.com/HDIGH. That's truehempscience.com/HDIGH. And balance your body and mind with True Hemp Science Full Spectrum CBD products. Let's get down. Johnny, I'm your host. Welcome to the show. I hope you guys have all had a good week. Whatever it is you did this week, maybe you got your spookies out on Monday, huh? Did you dress up? Did you go do a thing? Did you dress up like a witch or a vampire guy or a werewolf person or a rainbow coalition party animal? I don't even know what that means. Makes me think of LMFAO. Miss those guys, don't you? Red Foo and Sky Blue. What are those guys doing? They're like walking. They were like 365 days a year Halloween. That's what they were, or are, or whatever. I don't even know if they're still together. Find out if they are. You can tweet at me at Johnny Gowdy. I Halloweened. I told you guys on Monday's show. I went to the Saxon Pub. Kimmy Rhodes has been hosting like a songwriter in the round for Mondays before Bob Schneider over at the Saxon Pub here in Austin for the last month, for the month of October. And her last Monday, she got together with Jeff Plankenhorn, who for years has hosted the Dr. Plankenstein Halloween thing. I've been doing it for like, I don't know, I've been doing it for a while. Or back when people used to do it, I was doing it back then. Whatever that means. Anyway, a whole host of people played. A band backs you up. It's like Jeff Plankenhorn, John Chipman, Scott Garber on bass. Great, great bass player. Love that dude. My dear friend Gabriel Rhodes on keyboards and guitar. I did play a song. Other greats on the bill were Kelly McWee, Kimmy Rhodes, Rosie Flores, Sean Pander, Michael O'Connor, Louis Rhodes did a song that was great, and of course Jeff Plankenhorn played, and lots of people played. It was a lot of fun, and those kind of things are always fun to do. And I did dress up. Yes, I dressed up like a goth kid, like an 80s goth kid, kind of like in tribute to Robert Smith, 80s Robert Smith, like big white shirt, black jeans, high tops. You know what I'm talking? You know that 80s Robert Smith? The lipstick Robert Smith smeared with the eyeliner and the hair standing up. So I did that. It did. I had to go find some hairspray that would make my hair stand up kind of in that really sort of like 80s way, like funk, like standing straight up. It's hard to find nowadays. I was looking for Aquanet because that's the brand I know and love. You get Aquanet Extra Hold. You're back in like 1986, 87, baby. You're rocking it. Your hair smells like fuck though. Anyway, so I didn't find Aquanet. I don't know if it's still out there. You guys let me know if there's still Aquanet out there. Tweet at me. I'm at Johnny Gowdy. Let me know if Aquanet's still a thing and a product being sold. I don't really see people doing that shit to their hair anymore. Anyway, I did find some stuff. I can't remember. It was like L'Oreal or something at Walgreens. Like it has a list, numbers from 1 to 10, and the hold strength was 8. So I got like the strongest one that was available. They don't even have 10 on the market. I bet that's just prescription. I bet you have to go to a prescription guy to do that. Dear doctor, I need my hair to stand up like it's 1986 again. Oh, yeah, you're going to need a prescription for that. You're going to need 10 hold. Anyway, so I got that over the counter, number 8. I went out there. I played my spooky song, Julia, about the necrophiliac. It was really fun. It was fun playing there. It was fun watching everybody else play. I'm such a huge fan of all those people and just such a huge fan of them as people in general, not just musicians, but as people in general. So that's just always fun to kind of like be in the same room and sharing your talents with your colleagues slash chosen family. Sweet thing. Speaking of chosen family, guys, I haven't talked about this on here, but I was on Songwriters Across Texas, and I've been meaning to talk about it for a couple of weeks, and I totally forgot about it. But I am on episode, I don't even know. I'll post a link to it on our How Did I Get Here Facebook page and you can go there and find it. It was a really great episode. My friend Carl Anderson has a great show, talks to songwriters, obviously songwriters that live here in Texas. Great, great, great show, great time, very high production. I played with my friend Gabe Rhodes on there, played a few songs, and it's a wonderful interview with my dear old friend Carl, who I've been friends with for almost 30 years. Songwriters Across Texas. You can find it on YouTube. And I'll also put a link to it on our Facebook page. Gang, I have a great show for you today. Singer, songwriter, trumpeter, founding member of Trey Anastasio's solo band, Jennifer Hartswick is my guest on the show today. She has a brand new record out called Something in the Water. It's her first record since her album Nexus in 2018. This record, Something in the Water, is absolutely fantastic. If you don't know Jennifer, I didn't know Jennifer until her publicist sent me this thing, and she might be a new artist to you, but it's definitely worth a listen, man. This woman is incredibly talented, an amazing songwriter. She's got so much to say as a writer, but she's also an incredible instrumentalist. Grew up playing the trumpet with a family that plays trumpet up there in Vermont, which is where Trey Anastasio is from, and all the fish people. She's been playing with Trey Anastasio for a couple of decades now. In fact, she's on tour with him right now and will be out with him until November 11th. You can go find out if they're coming to a town near you. But her record, Something in the Water, just came out in September. Absolutely fantastic record. Like a jazzy, funky soul record. That's what I'm talking about. That's the kind of music she plays. If you're from Austin and you're listening to this and you live in Austin, you know the Austin music scene, you know an artist named Jackie Venson here in town. Melodically, she kind of reminds me of Jackie Venson. She has those kind of sensibilities where she goes into this jazz place melodically. But it's a really, really, really great record. I thought For You is such a great song. Only Time Will Tell. Very, very great song about a story of a woman scorned. The record was produced by her longtime friend, guitar player and producer, Nick Casarino. Fantastic job on that record. And also on bass is this guy, Christian McBride, who is just unbelievable. Legendary dude. You can find her at jenniferhartswick.com. You can go and find this record, Something in the Water, wherever it is you stream and download your music. As I said, she grew up in Vermont, family of trumpet players. In fact, she tells me a story about her mom trying to slide her a saxophone or something, and she gets shamed into playing tuba or trumpet into her family. Pretty funny. But she moved to Nashville. She lives there. But when you hear this record, too, you're going to be like, she's from Nashville? This doesn't sound like Nashville. It absolutely does not sound like Nashville. And the more we talk about Nashville, the more you realize she just lives there. She doesn't really, she's just kind of based out of there. She does all of her work traveling all over the world, playing music on her own with all kinds of people, including Trey Anastasio. As I said, she's a founding member of the Trey Anastasio band. They're on tour right now until November 11th. And Jennifer will be out there doing her own shows, which she's been doing for the last few months. You can find her at jenniferhartswick.com and see if she's coming to a town near you. Anyway, without further ado, I have that fantastic conversation with Jennifer. Enjoy it. Here it is. Let's get down.
When I told you, when you came back, that you better get your stuff packed, no matter how this goes.
Hi, I'm Johnny.
Hey, Johnny, I'm Jen.
Jen, nice to meet you. You are an amazing singer.
Thank you.
Yeah, you really are. Like, your voice is incredible.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're in Nashville? That's where you live?
I am in Nashville. You're in Austin?
Yes, I am.
Yeah.
Do you come here much?
I get there a few times a year, and one of my very best friends lives there, so it's mostly pleasure trips when I go, but I always make sure to go see music, which is very easy to do in Austin.
It is, isn't it? But you know what? Yeah. Austin, like Nashville, is not known for the music that you like this Something in the Water record. That's not something that you would expect a Nashville person to sound like.
No, I just happen to live here. That's the only thing that ties me to Nashville. My husband's from the Memphis area, and about 10 years ago, when we first started hanging out, we kind of wanted to get out of that area and said, let's go to Nashville, and you know, potentially we could work in our own city and sleep in our own bed, which is something that was foreign to both of us because we both travel so much, tour so much. And that did not, that was not the case. I've been here 10 years and I think I've played 4 gigs here. it's where I pay my mortgage. I pay my bills. It's where I come to reset, but I don't really work in this town.
That's okay though, right?
Yeah. No, it's great.
Yeah. So this record, Something in the Water, is really, really good, man. It's really good.
Thank
like
you,
so much. Yeah. So there's a whole thing behind this record, and I don't know where to start. Christian McBride, though, it's his label.
Yes.
Okay. So it's Christian McBride's Mac Avenue Music Group imprint, Brother Mister Productions.
So his imprint, his part of it is Brother Mister.
Okay.
And it's sort of under the Mac Avenue umbrella. So it's his imprint is the Brother Mister part of it.
All right. And he's the guy that plays bass on the record?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, man.
Right?
Where is he from? He's from heaven, obviously, but.
He's from heaven, born and raised in Philly, and has been in New York since he was 18.
Okay.
But yeah, he was like a hero of mine growing up. And we
how did you hear about him? Who did he play with?
He's one of the most premier jazz bass players that there is.
Okay.
And I was such a jazz nerd growing up. He was a huge part of my life, starting at about 14 years old. I just loved the way he played, and I had all of his albums. And then when I was about, let's see, somewhere around like 9-ish years ago, we happened to be on the same gig together. And I totally freaked out and I called my mom. Come on a gig with Christian McBride. And that started a whole friendship and a whole musical conversation. And here we are. But yeah, he's like a major hero of mine.
Okay, so you get to work with him, and that's pretty amazing. I mean, some of that shit he plays on your record is, it's just like, what?
It's so stupid. He's so stupid.
Yeah, and it's not like because of overplaying, it's just like literally like in this zone of like masterful, beyond like almost like a double PhD in bass or something.
Yeah, he's like a Zen and pocket master.
Yeah. And so what did you do first? You trumpet or singing? Or was it the same time, everything?
In life?
Yeah.
In life, trumpet. I started playing all kinds of instruments. I grew up in a big old musical family. Everyone in my family was a brass player, except my mom. But all of my aunties and my grandma, they were all brass players, trumpet players, tuba players, French horn players. My mom was the only woodwind player. And so she tried to get me to play.
Was she frowned upon in the family?
Absolutely. What are you doing over there? And they're all so brilliant. They're all so, so, so brilliant. And so I started playing piano when I was 4, and then, you know, flute and clarinet and sax shortly thereafter. And then when I was about 9 years old, my grandma came over to the house and I was practicing alto sax. And she is very blunt, like a very blunt Vermont backwoods woman. And she said, she's like, you got way too much hot air to be playing that stupid thing. Just like that.
Whoa.
So she brought me a tuba and a trumpet. And and here we are.
So is that where you're from, Vermont?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's where I grew up. That's where my whole family is. Yeah.
We'll go back to this in a second. So, Nick Casarino, that's the producer and the guy that you co-wrote a lot of this stuff with.
Yeah.
Okay. So before you guys made this record, you went on like a writing retreat in New England. with Nick.
Yep. Nick and I have been working together. I met Nick when he was 14 years old. And he was just one of those kids who was talk about from a different planet. And so I had to wait until he graduated high school to start bringing him out on the road. But the second that he graduated high school, I started bringing him on the road.
What does he play?
So we have guitar.
Okay.
And sings and writes his butt off and all of that kind of stuff. But so we have almost a 20-year history between us as well. And he is also from Vermont. He's from the other side of the state. He's from the city. We don't like to talk about those guys. But he's from South Burlington. And so we did. We were just feeling like everybody was feeling in the heart of COVID and not being able to do what we love to do and with whom we love to do it. And we just wanted to go right. So we went to this closed bed and breakfast up in Vermont in the middle of winter in January. It was freezing cold and beautiful and full of snow. And we spent a week and a half up there writing. It was therapeutic and lovely and necessary and all of those things.
That's awesome. So, you came out with some really great stuff. You really did.
Thanks.
Like, it's interesting because I come, like, musically, I come from a different world, like a non-jazz, like a, you know.
Sure.
Like a, just a straight up rock dude. But there's such a, like, I've always been in bands with people that have turned me on to whatever the hybrid is. Cause what you're doing isn't jazz. It's like funk. There's like, I wrote this down. Hold on. For You, like that tune is like just straight up funk song to me.
Yeah.
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 What do you classify it as?
I don't. I'm the worst. I don't. I think there is like, I just think of it as music and I let other people put it in a box if they want to put it in a box. I have a really hard time doing that. For me, it's like I like so many things and I am so many
things. That comes out, out in your music.
Yeah. I just think if it's inauthentic, it's one thing, but like all of those things are a part of me.
Yeah. Yeah.
I grew up in a very classical family. I grew up listening to almost exclusively jazz. I was also in an 11-piece, super tight funk band by the time I was 16. And I was in that band for 7 years or 8 years. So that's sort of ingrained in me. It's all kinds of things. And I think, you know, I'm sure you understand. It's like the evolution of who you are as a person. Like, you know, your music changes, your tastes change. There's little bits of this that you took from that part of your life. And I think this is sort of the culmination of just where I happen to be right now. And so when we set out to make the record, we didn't really set out to say, oh, let's do a funk tune. Let's do a ballad. Let's do a, you know, it wasn't genre based. It was more sort of content based. It was like, what do we want to talk about that we haven't talked about, you know, lyrically? And that was the only conversation that was had in terms of different things. But what came out musically as far as genre crossing or bending or whatever, it's just kind of like, to me, it just kind of is what it is.
Yeah.
There's just hints of who I am in every facet. So yeah, it's hard for me to classify though.
When you played the song Only Time Will Tell for your husband, did he get nervous and was like, wait a minute, who are you talking to in this song?
Yeah, people have a real tendency to think that everything is autobiographical, I'm learning.
You know, I had a manager at she was a woman, and there were so many songs that I would bring it, like I'd bring him in, like, oh, check out the song I wrote. And the song would end, and she would go, is that about me? And I'd be like, fucking world do you live in that I'm like sitting around writing songs about my manager? Who does that?
Yeah. Like, yeah.
You'd hate me. You wouldn't even manage me if I did that.
It's like everyone all of a sudden understands Carly Simon. So it's like, also, I can't, this is being recorded. I shouldn't tell you. I won't say what I'm about to say, but someone from my past who is no longer part of my life also told all of his friends that this one particular song had to be about him. He was sure of it. And I was like, if you still think 15 years later, I'm thinking of you and let alone writing songs about you, you are out of your mind. No, but people have called me and said, are you okay? Like, are you, is there something you like need to talk about? Like, Isn't it our job to tell stories?
The lady in that song is not having a good time.
She's not having a good time.
Okay, so if I was your friend.
The lady for you.
What's that?
Yeah, the lady in for you is having a very good time.
Very good time. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's not necessarily, but she's just having. That one is not based on me, but that is definitely based on a friend of mine. Anyway, you know, there's not many autobiographical things on there. Innocence is autobiographical because it's the song that I wrote like as an homage to the piece of property that I grew up in the woods of Vermont. I kind of look at it as like a my grandparents bought 300 acres back when land was nothing, you know, decades and decades and decades ago. And so I had the privilege of growing up on that property. It was our house and it was my grandparents' house, and that's it. And everything else was just woods and waterfalls and fields and forest. And I always sort of felt like that piece of property was like it's such a part of who I am and helped raise me. And like, you know, those trees are our aunties and the water is an uncle. And, you know, I just sort of always looked at it like that. So I wrote Innocence based on that. It's just sort of an homage to the gorgeousness that I grew up with.
That's pretty amazing.
That's autobiographical.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, let's go back there. So you're in this musical family. They busted you playing a saxophone and got you a tuba and trumpet instead. And what kind of kid were you? Were you weird? Because you said you were a teenager and you were into jazz. Like, what was happening around you musically in the world? That what were your friends listening to that you're out there? You're like, hey man, hey, I'm listening to like NSYNC, and then you're like, oh no, man, you got to check out this Art Blakey.
Right, right. So that's exactly what my childhood was like. Actually, I remember. It would have been, I'm slightly older than that. So it was like, it was New Kids on the Block.
Okay.
And I had just moved to a new school. And because we grew up in such a rural area, the new kid was automatically cool, not chastised. But it was like, ooh, we got a new kid. And I remember going into this new school and everybody was listening to New Kids on the Block. And I was like, ugh, New Kids on the Block. They're terrible. And everybody was like throwing away their New Kids on the Block tapes. Just because this new kid told them to. No, but that's, I when I was in high school, I was probably, I was so unaware of what anybody would have thought of me. Like, I was a nice kid. I had friends. I wasn't like a super weirdo. Most of my friends, we had an amazing jazz program in our high school. And so most of my close friends were also jazz nerds. I was a super goody two shoes. They were like smoking weed and listening to Bitches Brew when they were 15. And I was not smoking weed and listening to like Clifford Brown because he was the most technically perfect trumpet player of all time.
Right, right.
I really liked, you know, I didn't like the out stuff. I liked like the really inside stuff at that time in my life. But yeah, I mean, I always was involved in theater and performing and stuff like that. And that's what kind of kid I was. I was like a compassionate kid who was friends with all the weirdos. You know, I sort of have always looked at myself as someone who brings people together. And that's not that was sort of what my mom's whole bag was too. My mom had this really incredible theater company for kids every summer, and it would involve 200 kids who had nothing to do all summer, and they got to be involved in a musical every summer. And then it got so big, she had to start doing two musicals, and she loved kids. She was an amazing teacher. And I just watched how she brought everybody together, and I sort of gathered that through osmosis, I suppose. But anyway, so I think one of the things that I love about music is that it brings people together, you know, musicians and audiences alike.
Yeah. Yeah. That's one of the most beautiful things about what we get to do, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's moving. So, okay. So you were playing in school. Were you guys doing, well, hold on. What musicals were you in?
Oh, Lord.
Name a couple. If it was like 100, just give me two good ones.
Oh, it's like, you know, West Side Story, sure. Guys and Dolls, yeah. Sound of Music, God, there were so many. We did at least one a year And then when you're 18, that's your last one. So I probably started when I was about 3, I suppose.
Jesus.
And then later on, it became two a year. So My Fair Lady, like, you know, all of them. The ones that are like appropriate for kids to be doing.
Right. You didn't do cabaret.
We never did hair.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. We didn't do cabaret. We didn't do hair.
The hair, the actual production, everyone comes out naked at the end, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That just sounds like someone's going to get arrested.
My printer just started printing. I have no idea what it's going to print, but we'll find out.
Oh, it's printing my bio.
Oh, great. I'll learn about you.
Did you go out and play? Okay, so you did performances with the high school jazz band. Did you play anything outside of the jazz? Like, you played trumpet. Like, were you in a ska band or some shit?
I was never in a ska band. We always had a band. My friends and I always had a band. And it was sort of like always some sort of funk slash jazz situation. And I also started playing with this amazing sax player named Dave Grippo in Burlington, who had a great jazz department over there too. But he had like a sextet that was a pretty straight ahead jazz sextet. And I started working with him when I was about 16. And it was actually through him that I met Trey Anastasio, who would become a, you know.
Oh yeah, because he's from Vermont. That's just like, boom, yeah. Hello, what a dummy I am.
Yeah. Yeah, so we started, I started playing, like, you know, gigs pretty regularly at about 16. And then Dave, who had the sextet, also was the one with that big old funk band that I worked with for years. And so, yeah, I played a lot of gigs pretty early on.
That's awesome. So then where'd you go to college? Did you go to college or did you just hit the road?
I went to college for a hot second. It was not the place for me. I was already playing a lot. It was just like, if this is what I'm going to school for, I might as well just skip the bill and do it.
I went to school for recording and I was just kind of like, if I leave now, I mean, I don't want to be an intern at a fucking recording studio. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, right. Yeah.
So yeah, and I just split too. It's pretty easy to do when you, like, it feels like it's in your way. Like, there's nothing worse. You notice it as they, like, when you get older and you look back and you're people you were close to had this experience that you just like were like, fuck that, man, I'm getting in a van. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And like, it's like when you know, and there's so many people who don't know, and I'm so lucky that I knew. And then I knew what I wanted to do with my life. You know, I look at, you know, my stepdaughter when she went to college, and now she's 27. And I just thought, like, man, I wish you knew what you wanted. It was so easy because I knew what I wanted. But she doesn't know what she's great at. And that bums me out.
Yeah.
But it also makes me grateful because I knew at 5 years old. I mean, that this was
what
in some capacity going to be what I did.
Yeah.
So I don't ever take that for granted because there's so many kids who just don't know.
No.
So,
and overall, that feeling is a blessing. But there are times when you're just like, God, why couldn't I just like not know what I want to do and just like go to like the beach and hang out with my friends and like, I don't know what I want to do, man. It's great. I'm just living instead of having this drive and like, you know.
Yeah. I'm just now starting to like dip my toe in the water of who I am as a human being versus who I am as a musician.
Yeah.
Like this year. I mean that, like, it's been a really interesting year of that, of like, okay, like who am I as a human being? I'm supposed to have like fun, right? Like not work like 400 days a year. Like people have fun, right? They have vacations, they hang out with their friends.
I love the way you say that. Like I was like, I had been divorced for like 5 years when I started discovering that, where I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah. I get why I'm divorced now. I would. Because you kind of become a thing. You become a thing and you get almost like a shark. You're just going for this one thing and that's what you're doing.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's like cool. That's cool in your 20s or your 30s.
Yeah.
And then like I turned 40 and something really beautiful happened. It was like I started asking myself like what I actually wanted. and like started asking like if particular things in my life were okay with me. And that was a COVID gift. I can't lie about that. That was a COVID gift because I got to sit down and stop working and not do anything. And so for 3 months, I did nothing. I didn't call people to check on them. I didn't worry about not working. I was just like, I'm exhausted.
Yeah.
Like, I haven't stopped since I was 16. And it gave me time to ask myself those questions and answer them and come up with even more questions about, you know, what I want when shit gets back to normal. Like, you know, and at that time, because no one was making any money, there was a question of like, okay, if no money was involved, which ones of these things that I'm so heavily invested in would I actually agree to be doing?
Wow.
And it was very few of them. And so it's really about like, okay, when things get back to normal, like, am I going to put myself through the ringer, or am I going to actually find balance in my life for the first time? I have done horribly, but it's okay.
Well, at least you thought about it and you put the plan into action.
Yeah. Yeah. And
you made the list.
Because everything is, I made the list.
Yeah.
And I revised the list. And I think because everyone is so hell bent on working all at the same time right now, there's a nice ebb and flow to what we do and which bands work which seasons and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
But there is no ebb and flow. Now it's just balls to the wall. Every band that I work for is working at the same time.
Yeah.
And so you're just going to have to make it work. And so I'm home in my house for the first time. I just got home last night. I think I've been gone, I don't know, 3.5 months maybe. And I leave again on Thursday. But it just is what it is. I will find a balance because I realize that it's important. Right now, there's no balance.
It's funny. That's, you know, that really happened. I mean, in my community of people, everybody came back in like the spring of 2021 with a different vision of what they wanted their careers to look like. Friends of mine who have been on the road, like road warriors, like, you know, 9 months a year on the road were like, I don't need to be on the road that whole time, really. Someone I'm actually in a band with. I'm in a cover band. It's a party band. And like, as soon as that shit came back, like it's a 7-person band. 6 of us were like, let's do everything we can. And she was you know, man, I don't have to be gone every weekend.
Right.
It turns out I actually don't have to be.
Right. This is what we learned.
Yeah.
Like we survived the madness of staying at home with no income, essentially most of us.
Yeah.
Like how did we do that?
Yeah.
We did it. We never thought we would have to. We never thought we could. But all of a sudden I was talking to do you know, she just moved to Austin a couple of years ago. Do you know a drummer, Nikki Glaspie?
Nope.
Are you hip to her? Go look her up. She's super dope. But she's such a badass, and we've been playing together for 20 years. And she was like, you know what, man? We finally talked, you know, 6 months into lockdown. She's like, you know what, man? We're all fine. We're all still here. Nobody's starving, and we haven't been on the road in 6 months. She's like, so who's the idiot now?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, but it's... That's how I feel. It's like I'm grateful for the time off. It really did, I think, make a lot of us just look at things a little differently.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. So back to college. You leave college, and then what were you doing? I like you, Jen. Sorry to interrupt you. I like you.
I like you too. This
I thought
great.
When I was listening to your music, I would like you, but then I didn't know. Like, yeah. I have such a fucking like three chords in the truth like thing where I don't go to like the elephant room here in Austin very often because I always think like someone's gonna yell at me right when I walk in and go, get the fuck out of here, go home and listen to your Kiss and Cheap Trick records and shut up. But I know it's not actually like that.
What are your favorite spots to go see music in Austin?
Well, the Continental Club and the family of Continental Club, like Sea Boys and the Continental Club Gallery.
Yep.
Got Elias Hasslinger, you know him? He plays saxophone.
Nope.
Jazz guy.
Those are the three places that I don't miss when I come to town. I was just curious if I'm missing some. Do you know Kevin Lance by any chance?
Of course. Kevin Lance and I have played together since the 90s. And he subs in Skyrocket, that cover band I'm in.
Yeah. I had a feeling that you guys would probably know each other. Yeah. He's a great friend of mine.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway.
He's a big fan of the show, and he's been on the show.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. I love that dude.
Where's my phone? I'm going to send him a picture of us right now.
Okay, do it. Be like, Kevin.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Yeah.
So I quit school. I had done a couple recording sessions with Trey when I was real young. I was like 17, 18, 19.
Was he already fish guy? Like he was already Trey Anastasio?
Yeah. Yeah, very much so. So when I recorded with him, they were like, you know, already selling out Madison Square Garden, you know, four nights in a row.
Yeah.
And so we did a couple sessions together, and then I went to school. I made it three semesters, I think. And I quit. And as I was driving out of the driveway, you know, I called my parents. I said, I don't know what I'm doing, but this ain't it. Like, I gotta go. And so I was 10 minutes out of the driveway, and my, you know, it would have been 2000. So my giant Nokia brick cell phone rang. It was my very first cell phone where you could play Snake on it.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was Trey, and he was like, hey, what are you doing? And I was like, well, I just quit school 10 minutes ago, and I got to go. This school shit is not for me. And he's like, you want to be in a band with me? I just started a band. And I said, oh, okay, sure. And so I drove straight to his house, and he was already mid-rehearsal. And we were on the road 2 weeks later, and that was 22 years ago.
Jesus, man.
And we've been playing together ever since. So it was just another lesson in trust your gut. And so we've been playing together since, like, on the road together since 2000. And that took up a bunch of my time for many years.
Yeah, I bet. Dude, I have this friend, like, people are committed to that band and committed to that guy and committed to you guys. And to like in a level, in a Grateful Dead level, in a jam band level, like for some reason, it's so diehard on that level. I have a friend, man, my friend Jason. I mean, he is always figuring out the tickets to go to some, like, that guy goes and sees this Trey guy and whatever what he's doing, be it with you guys or with Fish. Every chance he gets. And it's like, oh, I saw him three nights in a row. And, you know, you should have been there the second night, but the second half of it was like, you know, all this crazy, insane, like.
Yes.
So you were brought into that world.
Yeah. Which I'm still baffled by. Dude. And the thing is that, you know, there's so many people who feel like your friend does where, you know, they joke, like, never miss a Sunday show because everybody's like, oh, I did the Friday, Saturday, but I got to go home, go to work and whatever. And always, inevitably, the Sunday show is some crazy thing happens and they blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But the thing is that the it's not by accident that they've cultivated this sort of fan base, like the Trey in particular. But like they really, really care. They work and they care and they rehearse and they think about these things. And like, it's not by mistake or by luck that hundreds of thousands of people around the world come out to see them for 13 nights in a row at the Garden. Because for 13 nights, they just did this thing, I think in 2019, where they played 13 nights in a row at the Garden and they didn't repeat a single song. 13 nights. Two sets a night, two 90-minute sets a night.
Jesus Christ, dude.
13 nights. It was like 514 songs or some shit. Like, they care. They plan this stuff out. They say, what can we do for our fans that they, you know, because they look at it as they're so deserving. We're so lucky to have them. So it's not, you know, there's so many bands who get comfortable and say like, oh yeah, we sell tickets or whatever. And like, and then they just sort of rest on the laurels, and that's just not one of those bands. So that's been a real lesson for me in work ethic alone, growing up with that. I mean, we started working together when I was 17. So it's just been, I've learned a lot by watching him and watching the way that he runs his organization. And I mean, he's one of those guys who, he wakes up every single day by 5 o'clock, makes a cup of coffee, and writes at least one song. every single day. And he's like, you get better and better at it. And he's like, most of them suck. And you just never know what people are going to latch on to, what people are going to like. And, you know, but his work ethic is through the stinking roof.
Yeah. There's a, something that's that I feel like in at least what we do, and even in songwriting and stuff like that, that there's an aversion to sort of like sports or sports analogies. But the thing is like, you want to write a hit song, which is like winning a marathon. You can't really win a marathon if you're not running 26 miles a day. Like, you can't just wake up one day. And I know there's, I know that there's inspiration, but I do believe in that Neil Young quote, like, yes, I do only write when I'm getting inspired, but I usually get inspired a couple hours into working on a song.
Yeah. No, it's a skill. I mean, it's not like, you know, it's a skill. Songwriting is a skill just like anything else.
Yeah. And it's a craft and there is inspiration, but you can tap into all that stuff a lot faster if you're doing it all the time.
Definitely.
Because there is a mystery to it where you're like, how did I do this? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
How did I do this last time? You know that one that everybody really likes? How did I do that one? Like,
Yeah. Can I do that again, but different, but the same?
Yeah. How do I? See, I had eggs. Like, yeah, there's just, it's such an odd sort of thing. And it seems like when you went and even did this record, going and like doing it every day. Like, did you guys wake up and make breakfast and write a song?
Yep, absolutely. Yep. And you know, that was sort of the formula. If there was one, we'd, you know, wake up, make breakfast, light a fire, write some, make coffee. Somebody makes a lot. Everybody who was involved in the session, it was me and Nick and also Aaron Boyd.
Right.
And we're all, we all love cooking. And so we would all have a dinner night and where the other two would write and the other one would cook dinner. Right. And we rotated every third day, you know? So, and I brought up, because it was winter in Vermont, and Aaron loves, I mean, everybody loves Southern food, but you can't get anything in Vermont, especially not in the winter. And so it took me 2 days to drive from Nashville to Vermont. And I brought a cooler full of like my favorite andouille sausage and a bunch of fresh collard greens and just like a bunch of stuff that they couldn't get up there.
Yeah.
Like we planned it. We planned the meals out way more than the songwriting.
Well, sometimes that stuff will just come naturally.
Like, yeah. So we cook and write and cook and write and cry and laugh and cook and go for a hike. And it was great.
That's amazing. Okay, so so you in your time, the 22 years you've been working with Trey, I guess you guys are close friends. It's not like a distant band leader. You know how like there's those guys, you know what I mean? Like if you play with like Pink or something, she's not at half the rehearsals.
Right. No, he's the most hands-on in all ways. It's like, he just eats, sleeps, and breathes music and work and all facets of it. And we always joke that you do not answer. He's a real morning person, which I am not. And we joke that like you do not answer his phone call if you are pre-coffee, because it's going to be at least an hour and a half long.
And a lot of
it. And if you haven't talked in a while, then at least 2 hours. But he's always thinking about his mentor growing up had a motto that he has also adopted, which is if he's talking about a song or tour or whatever, it doesn't matter. His thing is, it's so good, it should be even better. And so there's never a moment where he's just complacent with how something went. He's always incredibly complimentary and so inspired and impressed and all that kind of stuff. At the end of a show, he calls the second the show is over from his bus, and he's like, "That was so great! Oh my god, when you did this, and oh my god, when Russ did that," and that is genuine. He is just like a compliment fountain and a joy fountain. And so he's about as hands-on as they get. He's the first one at rehearsal. If rehearsal's at noon, he's there at 11, you know, and he stays late. And that's just who he is. He's just incredibly hands-on.
That's awesome. So, but he does have his own bus.
He does. He's been sober 15 years, almost 16.
Oh, yeah. I remember reading some crazy interview with him in Rolling Stone. Like, I didn't realize how out there he got.
He was out there. I was there for all that, too.
Yeah.
He's part of the thing that helps him stay on track is having his own space. So, yeah, and that works well for us too. Have a little, you know, separation and have him have his space to be crazy.
Yeah. And you guys have your space to be crazy.
Yeah.
Have you ever fallen like into the drinking too much? And
no, I was too much of a goody two shoes, and it really followed me. You know, I'll have a drink once in a while. But no, I've been really lucky that hasn't been a part of my life, because it's a part of so many of our friends' lives.
Yeah. I mean, the addiction isn't a part of my life, and I've never had a problem. I have my nights of crazy rock and roll stuff, but they're not terrible, which is great. So during that time of doing all of that, you played with a lot of other different people. Like, who are some of the people that you've got? Do people hire you to go out and do like backing vocals and trumpet?
Yeah. A lot of people hire me to like put a horn section together for them. If it's like, you know, a special gig or a TV gig or a festival gig, or that's sort of where I thrive.
Oh, that's cool.
But yeah, I do a lot of work for a lot of folks, you know. I work with, you know, O'Teal Burbridge fairly often. You just never know. It's so funny. It's just like you never know who's going to call and need something. But I like it because it keeps things fresh. If I only had to be in one band for the rest of my life, I think I would lose my mind.
Yeah.
I think it's healthy to have inspiration from all kinds of folks.
Yeah, it is. I really think so.
Yeah.
But then it's also, I've always wanted, I wished I had that, probably not with my first band, but like that U2 thing. Like when you see those guys together, you're like, shit, man, those guys have been through the whole thing together. Just those four guys.
No, there's really something to be said for having a band. It's like, it's real, like it's a band, and you can tell it's a band, and you've been a band for decades, and it feels like that, you know?
Yeah.
Because there's so many, especially in the jam band world, there's so many like people love to go see like an all-star thing that's like a one-time only thing where you put together this band for one night. And that has its own like exciting energy and all of that. But I am much more excited to go see something that's been together for 25 years and have my mind blown that all of those really, like they, you know, they've been through everything together. They've been through all kinds of family stuff, all sorts of band drama, you know, who knows, but I just feel like you can feel that so well when you go to see, like, if you go to see the Stones or you go to see, like, you know, Springsteen or whatever, it's like, holy shit, man, that's a band.
Yeah. Or even you too.
Yeah. Or even you too. Yeah. I put them in that category for sure.
Yeah. Do you have a band? You've been on the road playing shows. Do you have a band with you? Your own band?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
How many pieces?
Ideally six. Right now we're five. We just finished a run this week. It was so nice to like finally play this music live. We've been sitting on it for a minute. And you know, you make something in the studio that, and these are brand new songs, and that's like a different thing in and of itself. If you make a record because you've been on tour playing a bunch of songs and now you want to make a record,
right?
Because it's really dialed in, that's a different feeling than we wrote these songs, let's make a record, and now we have to figure out how to play them live.
Right, yeah.
And so that was the stage that we were in for the last month. And so it's been so, so nice. To be able to play this stuff live. And it's always wild to see, like, I mean, the record just came out last month, but there have been two singles off of it, and it's so cool to watch people already know the words. That will never stop being a trip to me.
That's amazing.
And especially because it's so new. But being able to play original music, and I played the last two shows that we played with the band were both private events, and the last one was a fundraiser for a nonprofit that provides free medical care to anybody who needs it. A really incredible organization Wow. called MedWorks. And the gig was booked so long ago that one of the donors, contributors, knew that we were coming to town and said, can we get your band to come play at our house the night before? And so we worked it out to do that. It was a very
nice
house.
Yeah.
They built an entire, I don't even know what to call it. They built an entire outdoor nightclub just for us to come. It was unbelievable. Like, no expense was spared. And I thought, you know, it's a party. It's a house party. There's going to be people from, like, all walks of life there. And so we played all covers that, we played two sets of covers. And, you know, from all kinds of stuff that, like, I like to throw, you know, a third of the songs will be stuff people know. The rest of it will be stuff that I wish people knew.
Right.
You know, just like B-side, whatever. And so they pulled me aside afterwards, after the gig, and said, that's so interesting that, like, how do you know what people want to hear? It's like, I mean, it's what we do every day, right? It's like we curate a program for whatever the situation
exactly.
is.
Yeah.
And so they were like, you just knew exactly what to play, and like, and watching everybody watch you with bated breath was so fun for us, and we can't wait to see you tomorrow at the fundraiser event. Also, are you gonna be playing stuff from the new record? And I said, yeah, tomorrow we'll play a bunch of stuff from the new record. And they said, okay, good, because we really want to hear it. And even just having somebody say that, like, we really want to hear it. And so we played almost the whole record the next day and peppered in some covers and all that stuff. But anyway, it's just been it's been really cool to flesh everything out and hear people want to hear it. It's, you know, a lot of people don't get that opportunity. So I'm grateful that people want to hear it.
Yeah. And people are listening. I mean, there's a song, I didn't write down the name of the song, what it was, but there's off your last album, Nexus, that has over 1 million plays on Spotify alone.
Oh, yeah. 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 People are listening. I'm so grateful. Thank you, everybody.
That's a hit, right? I mean, right?
I don't know. I have no idea.
If your song is played over 1 million times,
Then you lucked out and it got on a popular...
is that what happened? You got a playlist?
Yeah. Yeah. And now with the new record, so the new... this is the first time I've ever had a label affiliation. Everything else that I've ever done has been by myself. And so I haven't had any connections at Spotify or anywhere else to have anything put on a playlist. They just happened to put it on when it came out. So I lucked out with that. That's just the truth.
I like to think that still happens, that if you make something really good, people will share it with their friends.
I think that's true. Yeah. I hope that's true.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or people hate it. They're like, listen to how terrible this is. But either way, it gets fun. It's fine.
When you do covers, what are the covers that people know that you do? What did you do?
I always make sure to throw like a Chaka Khan and a Stevie Wonder and you know, stuff like that. So we'll do
what Stevie?
Like, what did we do the other day? We did Haven't Done Nothing, which is like not top 10 situation. I usually, if I have great singers with me, we'll do Ain't Nobody.
Yeah.
Chaka Khan, Ain't Nobody.
Yeah.
And if I don't have great singers with me, then we'll do Tell Me Something Good. But you gotta have the Ain't Nobody. You gotta have everybody singing their faces off for that one.
Yeah. Tell Me Something Good is such a great song. That's a Stevie song.
Yeah.
And that is that isn't it's, that him playing everything?
I think so, yeah. Yeah.
He's my favorite drummer.
So many drummers say that.
Well, cause there's just like, if you sit down and really listen to it, it's like a crazy person.
Yeah. No, if you go listen to haven't done nothing. It's the crazy, and he never changes. It's just like bass drum and hi hat. He just says ksh, k, k, ksh, k, k, the whole time.
It's whole like time. Maybe Your Baby or something. You know that song? Yeah.
No.
It's on
Maybe Your Baby.
Yeah, yeah. It's on Talking Book. Maybe your baby done made some other plans. It's got Ray Parker Jr. playing guitar on it.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
I'm writing it down.
Yeah. I think it's the first or second song on Talking Book.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
Check it out.
I like those early 70s Stevie eras. What was it? What was the Prince song? I Feel For You. That was the other Chaka Khan hit.
Yeah, yeah.
Man, that song's amazing too.
Yeah.
My friend, I played a gig in Houston on Saturday and we were driving there and he asked me if I'd ever heard Prince's acoustic demo of it, and then I found it and it's pretty unbelievable.
I bet.
Yeah.
Is it easy to find?
Yeah. Yeah, now that, not to sound callous, but when he died, you could really start hearing everything, finally.
I know.
Dude, that was one of the blessings during COVID. There was one thing that they started showing whole concerts, and they'd stream them. And luckily, this friend of mine that I rode to that gig with is such a prince. He would call and be like, hey, tonight at 8 o'clock, they're doing like New Year's Eve 88 when they were doing Sign of the Times, like live at Paisley Park. It's an amazing show. Anyway. What are you listening to now that kind of gets you? Is there anything out there that's kind of...
Let's see. What's always in rotation? Yeah. I am having like a real Lucius moment. Are you hip to Lucius?
Yes.
I love that Second Nature record that just came out in August, maybe? Sometime at the end of this year.
I think I heard some stuff from that when it came out.
Really cool record. They're cool. I just think their whole thing is cool. It just feels like they're doing something that's very uniquely them, which is what's really appealing to me when I listen to things. The Yebba Dawn record is always a front to back.
I don't know what that is.
Oh man, Yebba is a incredible singer. Y-E-B-B-A. And she put out her, she's been around for a minute, but she just occasionally, a couple years, would put out a single, but never had a full record before. And so Dawn is, to my knowledge, her first full-length record, and it is just like, whew, front to back. I probably listened to that, I don't know, 800 times. Anything that Laura Mvula does, I'm super into. She's like one of the coolest singers and writers and arrangers around. Those are kind of my tops.
Let me ask you a question about your voice. How do you care for it on the road? What do you have, any kind of like regimens? Have you heard of the singing straw? I just heard of this on Saturday, the singing straw.
Yeah, I have the vocal straw. Yeah.
You use it?
I do.
Okay.
Just like I just started using it this year.
I'm going to start using it now because your voice is so good.
Oh, thanks. I advocate for the voice straw, it's called.
Voice straw, okay.
Yeah, I think for me, it's pretty simple. I don't party and I get good sleep and I drink a lot of water. I don't do anything crazy. I do a little warm up. Otherwise, you don't want to hear this thing. But it's really just that simple, you know, for me. I just try to get ample rest and drink water and don't rage.
That's
not very rock and roll.
No, I know. I know. As a singer on tour, I always was, I've always been sad that the mystique, you know, like, oh, where is he going? Like, oh. He has to go sit in the hotel room by himself, watch TV, and we all come back drunk and make fun of him.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. It doesn't pay to be the front person. It's not any fun.
It's not fun in that sense, no.
Did you do any live streaming during the
No, I don't play a chordal instrument, so nobody really wants to hear me just toot a trumpet at them. No, but my husband's a bass player, and we did like one thing for a friend, but no, we didn't do anything like that. I think it's great that people did.
Does your husband play in your band?
Mm-mm.
No.
Does
Christian McBride go out and play shows with you?
Very seldom. He has a massively busy schedule of his own. He's out more than I am.
You know how I feel sorry for is whoever has to do those parts.
Yeah, we got a pretty good bass player.
Yeah, I hope so. It's gonna take a pretty good bass player to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just a different energy, you know. You change one person and it becomes a whole different thing. So that's been cool too. Like I said, like realizing and these arrangements and playing them live and stuff, and then having a slightly different personnel brings a whole other life to them.
Yeah. So this is going to come out next week, and you'll be heading out to do some Anastasio shows.
Yeah.
Until like the middle of November, as far as your calendar goes. Are you going to get back to your own stuff?
Absolutely. Okay. Yeah. When we decided to put this thing out in the fall, it came with a giant asterisk, which is that I can't tour this record in the fall. As long as you guys are cool with that, you know, my schedule with Dre was already on the books a year ago. So the spring will be full of all sorts of shows for us as a band. The fall, we just finished like almost a month with Dre in September and into early October. So we'll go finish out the year with that project, and then we'll have some stuff in the spring. Yeah, I'm looking forward to all of it.
You got to let me know if you come here to play.
I will.
There's a new place called Parker Jazz Club that's supposed to be really nice.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I've not been there yet.
Cool.
Yeah. And maybe we could hang out with Kevin.
I would love that.
I love Kevin Lance.
Writing that down. I love that. I talked to him yesterday.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. In touch. Did he write back after you sent him a picture of us?
I didn't send it yet. I just took it.
All right. I just wanted to see what he said. Like, I hate that guy.
I know. Let me send it because you're right. I want to know what he says too. He's not the greatest texter backer.
No.
I mean, not the fastest.
I love playing with him, man. I really do. I love his feel and he and I.
Yeah.
He's a fun guy to play with. I've really enjoyed talking to you and getting to know you, Jen.
Yeah, same.
Yeah. I wish you great times with the Tre Anastasio band.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
And I will certainly I'll let you know the next time I'm in town and go grab a drink and see some music. Or maybe I'll just come see you.
Yeah. Or maybe I'll just come see you. One of the two.
Yeah, that too.
Because you'll probably be here playing, so I'll definitely come see you. Probably.
Yeah. All right. Great.
And I'll let your people know when this comes out next week, and I'll send you stuff on Instagram. But it was really nice meeting you, and thanks for doing the show.
Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate it, and I can't wait to hang out in person.
Yeah. Nice to meet you.
Yeah. You
Have
too.
A good
Take
one.
Care.
Bye.
All right.
No exception. Or redemption.
Jennifer Hartswick, her album Something in the Water, available now wherever it is you stream and download your music. Go to jenniferhartswick.com for all of your Jennifer Hartswick needs. She will be on tour with the Tre Anastasio Band until the 11th of this month. So if they're coming to a town near you, get out there and see her, wave at her, tell her I said hi. Great talking to her, man. What a great person. I want to thank her for taking the time to talk to me. Hey, gang, don't forget when you're out there checking out jenniferhartswick.com, you can subscribe to this podcast wherever it is you find podcasts, be it Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Overcast, Spotify. New shows every Tuesday and every Friday. And, of course, I've been laying the From the Vault. They've been dropping on Saturday nights, baby. Yeah, I'm saying if you subscribe to this thing like on Spotify, they'll send you a thing that says like, hey, how did I get here as a new podcast out? Sometimes you need to be reminded. I don't want to be all up in your ass about stuff. So subscribe. That way you know when a new show's out, all right? Let's hear the rest of this song, Only Time Will Tell, from Jennifer Hartwick. Sorry. Jennifer Hartwick. Great, great person. Have a great weekend. Let's get down.
And you played me. And no, I'm not jealous. I'm just angry. And all this time you made me share those lies. But only time will tell. Man, you bore me. Can you ever just surprise me? I got your attention. Listen closely. Ooh, ragged chapter finally folding. We could have been something. You were lazy. And I'm fed up, 'cause you played me. And no, I'm not jealous, I'm just angry. And all this time you made me share those lies. But only time will tell how the cards are dealt. I thought I knew you well. But only time will tell. Da-da-da.